Time now for us to sit down with Matt Stringer, RNIB's chief executive, for our regular catch-up. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to speak to you.
Let's delve in then. We've got books to talk about. We've got access refusals to talk about. But let's start with a very big campaign which RNIB is working on at the moment. This is around vision rehabilitation. I know we've talked in the past, Matt, about the political party conferences where RNIB has been, and there's been a big push on this, but the campaign really kicking off in earnest shortly.
You know, one of the things I've realised some time, it's very much part of one of our main three strategic planks is around independent living and how blind and partially sighted people can play a sort of full part in society. And for many, the support starts, or indeed doesn't, and this is a point, immediately after a sort of eye health diagnosis, where the need for that rehabilitation support, you know, that initial assessment, getting pointed in the right direction for whatever is needed by each individual, and clearly that will be subtly different for everybody, is absolutely critical. And what we are pointing out in the campaign is just how fragmented, how thin, how lacking that rehabilitation support is across the country. So we've done a freedom of information request across every council in England. It's about 132 councils. And there's some of the headlines we found pretty stark. So 86% of local authorities are missing the 28-day recommended deadline. 28% of local authorities leave people blind and partially sighted been waiting more than a year, which is just appalling, isn't it? And we've got a quarter of councils or local authorities using non-specialists to undertake the assessment. So again, you're not getting the sort of quality of support at whatever time, you know, you ultimately get it. And just under a quarter, about 22% of local authorities have got vacancies. And we know from one or two of the councils that responded, one or two of the local authorities that responded, actually don't have anyone. So there aren't enough quality people. It's taking too long. But, you know, that is exacerbated or sort of aided, if you like, by the fact that this isn't regulated. There's no one like the CQC or any other regulatory body sitting on top of this and making it happen. So it's an easy one for councils, whether willingly or unwittingly, to allow to sort of drift and fester, because no one's actually giving them the hurry up, make it happen. And there's clearly a massive challenge in terms of budgets and service provision. There is pressure on money locally, and that's not a backdrop that means this is going to be prioritised, particularly when there's no regulatory body sitting behind it, making councils play ball. I think, what are we doing? Well, you know, we're trying to do the reverse of everything I've just said of the problem. So we're calling for vision rehab to be subjected to that tighter regulation and monitoring, only as other adult social care services, nothing exceptional, but we should be up there with the rest of them being monitored by someone like the Care Quality Commission. We want guidelines and standards evolved. Again, it can be a bit of the Wild West. So someone like the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence to develop guidelines so that local authorities have got some guide rails and have something to report against. Yeah, we want more vision rehab specialists put through. There's a dearth of places. It's not a regulated profession. So you can understand why we don't attract too many people into that as a service. And again, more thought around integration of services to sort of help rehab in the round, in essence, at the moment. You know, services aren't very integrated, and therefore opportunities to help aren't taken. So I think, Alan, you know, it's a really important campaign for us. It really underpins why this is a big strategic push with the RNIB, because this is a big national deficiency.
I was really surprised that this wasn't a regulated service. That was something which I never knew. When you consider how vital and how important this is, you know, for someone of any age who loses their sight or begins to lose their sight, you know, to get that emotional support, to get that practical support, to get them moving around independently again, perhaps even staying in a job, you know, all the things that go with that rehab training. It's vital that that's delivered as quickly as possible. And, you know, in the long term as well, it could be a money saver for the government, you know, people not having accidents, people back in work again.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pluses here.
That's a really, really good point. I mean, I think just on the sort of health economics of this, we've done some work in one or two local authorities, Surrey, for example, in South England, Southern England. And we think that for every sort of £1 invested in this, you get £9 back, you know, because you're saving on costs further down the line, because you haven't dealt, you know, supported people earlier in the process. Dealing with it early is much better than dealing with it late. And then also the benefits of having people rehabilitated back into work, you know, being members of society, into education maybe, you know, obvious upside from that. I mean, an interesting thing, I think, you know, here we are, on the, you know, just talking after the budgets gone through in the UK, you know, and everyone sort of contemplating or discussing when the next election is going to be now, the general election. So very heavy political emphasis in discussions at the moment, clearly. You know, we've been banging this drum around rehab, but the other drum we've been banging is around eye health and the sort of working at the prevention end of the spectrum. 650,000 people coming forward every year with an eye health condition. There's about a year's waiting list on average. And there's about 1.9 million outpatients for eye health, outpatients appointments for eye health every year. Which is, and all those numbers are about 10% of the burden on the health service or the challenge on the health service. Plus this, there's a real pattern there of eye health not being considered, prioritised, with enough thought and enough understanding of the challenges, but also the benefits, as we've just said, economically and in terms of people's sort of well-being and mental health, obviously.
We will have more on the Vision Rehab campaign on RNIB Connect Radio. There is a petition as well, which we'd love you to sign. You can get more information by going to the website, and the helpline is there to help you as well. We'll give you those details a little bit later. Let's move on to some work that RNIB has been doing with guide dogs. This is around a toolkit, Matt, looking at accessibility. This was, I suppose, this was also in the government's Disability Action Plan around access refusals.
I'm sure your listeners are the same. I can't help but notice it almost seems every week there's someone on social media exposing how badly they've been treated by a restaurant, a hotel, a taxi firm, all of whom are saying you can't take your guide dog in when clearly you can. So some of it probably malicious, some of it probably unknowing, which is no real defence. Ignorance is not a defence. And so what we've done with guide dogs, our good friends at guide dogs, is produce a 13-page toolkit, which I'm just looking at now, which is on our website. I know Guide Dogs would have it on theirs, where we've come together to give people real help on how to sort of guide your way through this. Clearly, you know, if you're coming to this and you've had a problem, you know, someone's refused you entry, then clearly you're looking to, for either redress and or to educate the place or the person who's been denying you rightful access. So what this toolkit does is go through a number of things, give some worked examples, talks about what your rights are under the Equality Act. It gives you some help around how do you, you know, in simple terms, make a complaint, because we're complaining here, aren't we, about poor service and a refusal to allow entry. And there are example materials, complaint letters, templates, etc. to use that you can contact the person that's sort of denied you. And it goes into detail talking around, you know, taxis and mini cabs, hotels, etc. through the pack and what might happen or what could happen in each situation and what the potential fines are for the people that transgress. So, you know, pleased the government announced its improvements or its desires a few weeks ago. That doesn't automatically make the whole country suddenly conform, clearly. So I think this is important work we've done with, as I say, good friends at Guide Dogs, to produce a sort of single document which gives people the absolute simple and supportive guide to what to do if you find yourself in that predicament.
Yep, and we'll give you the contact details a little bit later. A couple of hard-hitting topics there, Matt. So I'm going to finish off, though, on books. So you're not a stranger to books yourself. We've just had World Book Day as well, and RNIB, you know, as they do every year, involved in that and involved in making books accessible, and indeed some free options as well.
You and I always try and find our opportunity to talk about books being bibliophiles, but just to remind people, yeah, we've had the competition with Michael Morpurgo and asked people to come forward and write a story, and our team at the moment are sifting through all those entries and are very close to sort of putting a shortlist under the nose of sort of Michael Morpurgo to read and pronounce on the winner, so watch this space for that. But we've got, as ever, a number of books that people can order. And this service has been open from middle of February, so I'm sure many people have. But you order your copy on our helpline, which is 0303 123 9999. And large print books can be requested. You know, Braille and audio versions are obviously available. And there's a number of books. There's 12 in different genres at different ages, all listed on our website for free. So, you know, please take advantage of getting hold of one of those to celebrate World Book Day.
Also, call the helpline or go to the website if you want to know more about the Vision Rehab campaign, and indeed get information on the petition. Please sign that. It literally takes you like a minute. Have a look at rnib.org.uk, or the helpline is 0303 123 9999. Matt, we're out of time, but we'll catch up with you again, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Alan, my pleasure. I mean, World Book Day is good to talk about, but good to pick on those couple of items. I think, you know, we're talking about access and equality, and we're talking about supporting people in rehabilitation, which is absolutely critical. And, you know, these matters are why we're here, really. We'll be pushing very hard on both. I think rehab being the particular important issue to really make a difference in, which I think would bring a whole lot of improvement and support for tons of people. So good to talk about it today.